Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
And welcome back. Don't forget, tomorrow is Friday, so it's Festivus Friday. The airing of the grievances begins promptly at 5 o'clock every Friday afternoon. It is brought to you by Q39, Q39KC.com. For those of you like me who watch a lot of college football, you're not unfamiliar with College Game Day on ESPN.
Love it.
Lee Corso, the legendary coach who always at the end of College Game Day dons the headgear of the team that he thinks is going to win that game.
Yeah,
he is retiring.
Aww,
he is retiring. His last game, he turns 90.
Yeah,
this
wow.
year.
Wow,
he has been on College Game Day since 1987, and his first headgear pick was the Ohio State's Brutus Buckeye on October 5th, 1996. He is going to be on the first College Game Day of the season, and then he's done.
So when is the final headgear pick?
It is going to be on, standby.
Do we know the schools?
Standby. They do not know the schools yet.
Okay.
It is going to be on Saturday, August 30th.
Okay, so if you don't know the name Lee Corso, let me just tell you, you absolutely know who he is.
Oh, he's very famous.
He is the one sitting there every single time with the big orange logo on College Game Day mm-hmm. with three others. You would be able to pick him out of a lineup.
Of course. He has been on more than 70 campuses as part of College Game Day.
Aww.
He has donned 69 different mascot headgear. He has made 430 headgear picks.
I love it.
Absolute legend.
And Ohio State is his number one headgear choice. He has chosen Ohio State 45 times.
Really?
Mm-hmm. He coached at Louisville, Indiana, Northern Illinois, was with the USFL's Orlando Renegades in 1985, and then he joined College Game Day.
How many people can say they have done what they love, the job they love, until age 90?
Well, and they have been sort of, because I love Lee Corso. I think he's just a gem and a treasure. They have been sort of fading him out on the broadcast. Mm. So he comes on late in the show these days. I can't remember who they put in his place. Early on in the show, and he'll come on for a little bit. He keeps some notes. You can tell, you know, he's getting up there in age.
Well, he's 90.
Yeah, he's fading a little bit.
A little bit more of a part-time gig,
yeah.
in a sense.
And so he'll make a couple of poignant points and then, you know, about the teams that are playing that day, and then he'll put on the headgear. And that's what he's been doing for the last couple of seasons.
Aww.
So he's going to be on week one on August 30th, Saturday. They have not decided which game that is going to be. And then Lee Corso will ride off into the sunset from College Game Day.
Good for him. What a career.
The owners of a Florida shop have been arrested for selling human remains on Facebook Marketplace.
What?
According to the Orange City Police Department, Kimberly Shopper, can't make it up, 52.
Wow.
And Ashley Lalesi were arrested and charged with the purchase or sale of human organs and tissue.
It's going to cost you an arm or a leg.
Get out.
Now.
How does this happen?
I didn't see that one coming.
Wow.
Got to get a leg up on the competition.
Okay.
Says the police captain in Orange City, this is something I've never seen in 17 years. Police began looking into Shopper's store, Wicked Wonderland, mm-hmm. back in December of 2023 when they received a tip regarding a business within the city that was attempting to sell human bones. The tip included images from the store's Facebook page, which advertised various human bones for sale, complete with
pricing information. Because when I'm buying human bones, I would like to be able to compare.
They were selling two human skull fragments for $90, a human clavicle for $90, a human rib for $35.
I mean, the femur's got to cost more than a tibia.
A partial human skull for $600.
All right. She does look shocked in her mugshot, and here's why. Police spoke with her And she said, I've been selling human bones for several years, and I was unawares that this is prohibited in the state of Florida.
You got to hand it to her. At least she's honest.
You got to hand it to her?
Really, Sam?
I mean, it is Florida. A lot of things just, you know, happen down there.
Okay, can I just tell you right now that this is odd because she confirmed to authorities, like, she's not trying to hide it. This was on Facebook Marketplace.
Yep.
She confirmed that the store featured multiple bone fragments, quote, all purchased from private sellers. Who is selling bone fragments, weirdo?
She is.
Well, yeah.
Who sold them to her?
Did you also see the story that was in the stack yesterday out of Houston?
No.
We have another funeral home that is storing bodies without air conditioning.
Oh, good God.
This one in southwest Houston. They were ordered to cease all operations after 10 people were found in, quote, shocking condition. The bodies were just lying out in the open.
My God.
There was no air conditioning in the room.
I'm assuming they were
decomposing. There is something to be said for spontaneous human combustion.
This is why I'm being serious.
What?
She's just trying to get back to yesterday's show.
I mean, think about it. There's really no mess.
Nobody ever thinks about it because it doesn't happen.
In rare cases, it does.
No.
Also in Florida.
Pictures? There was a mess.
But you digress.
This is why when I die, if there's anything useful inside of me, you can have it.
Yes.
And then I want to be cremated. I don't want to be laid on some cold steel slab.
I don't either. Because you know what? It then becomes, at that point, not useful for anyone else.
Correct. And then you get put in a box, and then worms and other things eat you.
Not doing it.
And then you just decompose. It's gross. It
says they reached out to the victims. They did not get back for comment.
Okay, can I ask you, Sam, Stevie, get out. I need to go back to the Florida woman, please.
The one who was selling the stuff?
In order to sell...
You're so awful.
Human bones.
Right.
One would have to think there was a market for someone to buy human bones.
There is a market.
And in fact, she found that market because someone sold them to her.
There is an underbelly of this society that you don't know about.
What would you do with someone's femur? What are you going to do with that, weirdo?
You display it in your bookcase?
What, on a mantle?
Yes.
Make necklaces out of it?
If you've got a legitimate human skull... I guarantee you there is a market in this country for people who want to buy it.
Yes, if you're a plastic surgeon.
No. If you're goth.
That's just gross. Oh, let's not do that because there's probably people listening. They're like, I'm goth. I don't have a human skull in my possession. I hope you don't. That's weird.
But do they want one?
Mm-hmm. They all do.
It's just so weird. You know what? There are always stories in my stack when I come in here today. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, if you're thinking that maybe you're not having such a good day, you're fine. And that's one of them. You are fine.
But Dana, what I'm telling you is there is literally an underbelly in this society of people who would, for example, and they've got a lot of candles that are half burnt and they're on the mantle. What?
I'm just laughing.
They dress like witches.
Okay.
Okay.
They watch way too much television.
They spend way too much money leading up to Halloween and they want nothing more than a human skull for their bookcase.
I mean, it would be cool to have a real... skeleton for Halloween.
No, that's gross. Why you can get them
cool?
At Walmart that are plastic, and guess what? That doesn't involve a trip to jail.
Why would you want to display the human innards of somebody who once walked the earth?
Well, they're not innards.
They're inside of you.
I don't know. People might.
A year ago, a website called Hyper Allergic, take that for what it's worth, posted this story, why is it so easy to buy a human skull online? Which would suggest that it is easy to buy a human skull online.
Well, we've talked about it before. There are running black market rates for different parts of the body. There have been entire deep dive investigative news stories about the underbelly of selling human remains.
Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say this person's name, but I just got a text from a friend of mine.
Oh, God, please don't.
Hey, Scott, I would definitely buy a human skull.
Gross.
If it was available.
That's so disgusting. Why?
I will ask. Why?
It's not...
Why is it disgusting?
...medically relevant. It's not because that was someone.
Yeah.
Somebody who ate in that mouth that's okay. Now sitting on your...
mantle, weirdo.
Somebody who kissed a woman and his face is now on your mantle.
You can go to...
Well, his face isn't.
Is it legal to buy human bones online? Let's see.
It is not.
In many places, it is.
In the United States?
Yeah.
There's a website called John's Bones. The human skull tells thousands of different stories.
None that you're going to hear. No.
Nice. By the way, it's estimated to bring in anywhere from $840 million to $1.7 billion a year.
Are you kidding me?
Of course, it's estimated because it's not regulated.
They are all for sale, but they don't come cheap. They are listed on the John's Bones website. All right, Sam, look up John's Bones, J-O-N-S, for thousands of dollars. Quoting here from the owner,
johnsbones.com.
We really find that the price point commands a level of respect. He's a hit on TikTok now, apparently.
The only restrictions are on a state-by-state basis, according to this article. Louisiana, Georgia, and Tennessee, the only states to have restrictions.
All right. You can get an uncut full skull for $3,800.
Okay.
You can get one without the lower jaw for $2,800.
Why is the jaw missing? That's weird.
Well, it fell off.
Ooh, you can get one with signs of syphilis for $4,800.
Do you see the geriatric skull where they clearly did not have any teeth?
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That's $2,800.
The 23-year-old said he became interested in osteology, the study of bones, when his dad gave him an articulated skeleton of a mouse. Instead of presenting it as a creepy, dark, and scary thing, he approached it to me as academic, scientific, more from a structural design standpoint.
You can get a children's skull.
No, I was going to avoid
that's
that one.
That's disgusting.
Sam. I was going to avoid that one.
And so then you like there's a chain of command with evidence and a chain of command with products. Why was that why is that not in an appropriate place? Because online in an auction is not an appropriate place for that.
You can tell which ones have clearly had had a brain examination post-mortem.
Okay.
Because they've had to seal the skull back on.
You can get a sliced skull on display. $7,800. It's actually sold out right now. They're working
on it. Look, this is johnsbones.com.
Okay, can we not all agree that it should not be legal to buy and sell human remains on the internet? Let's just all come to that agreement.
Why would we agree
to that? Because, Dan, unless you donate your body to science and you know that it's going to say KU for study, to further science.
Or to some medical school.
Or to some medical school.
Yeah.
Then you don't know where that came. There's no way to regulate where that came from.
Well,
how do you know that person's not a murder victim?
Well, you don't know that, Dana.
You don't.
No.
They have variety boxes.
Sam,
not sure what bones
Stevie.
You want. Buy the variety box.
Oh my God,
well, it's a surprise.
And underneath every skull, I know we got to get to break. Underneath every skull is a report. For example, under this medical skull 0260, which sells for $3,450, this skull has excellent dentition.
You can buy a femur with a light patina from this site. Also, ribs, add to bag, $23.
Mm-hmm.
Probably sold by a serial killer.
913-586-7798. 586-7798 here on Dana and Parks. Can you sell human bones at a garage sale?
Why? Are you asking for a friend?
I'm reading from the text line.
Why?
Somebody else writes, rest in pieces.
Okay.
Gives a whole new meaning to skeletons in your closet.
Okay.
Out.
This is the third time. There won't be a fourth. Laura in Liberty. Laura, hello.
Well, we have a skeleton in our basement.
In the basement.
My husband's father was an ENT, ear, nose, and throat doctor, and had a skull. I think in the 60s, it was kind of common for doctors to have skulls. And my husband is also a physician. So his skull has actually been used by other physicians in the Kansas City area when they're an expert witness for testifying in court cases. So this skeleton has been to a bunch of courts. And I think it was pretty common in the 60s for doctors to have skulls because while I was on hold, I remembered my dad's a retired anesthesiologist, and he had half of a skull that kind of grossly they used as an ashtray.
Oh, my word.
Oh, my gosh. Laura!
I know.
I know. So I guess it was kind of common for doctors to have that.
If you are a physician and you have a skull, that does not bother me at all. Especially, you know, you bring it into court. I understand what you're saying. But Laura, wouldn't you want to know or DNA test it and figure out who it belonged to? Like, what was the history of this person?
I know the one that my husband has. I've been told that he's been told it was actually from someone in India. And that's what families in India would do to be able to afford a proper burial, is donate parts of their deceased person's body.
Yeah.
So wait a minute.
I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what I was told.
But Laura, you said your father was an anesthesiologist, correct?
Yes.
And he also had a skull. That's the one they use for the ashtray, I think?
Right. He only had the top half, like the bowl part.
We're
top
good.
Half.
We're
My
good.
Husband has the entire thing.
Got it.
Got it.
Is your father still with us?
Yeah.
Okay. So
I don't know if he still has it, though.
Well, let's just for the sake of discussion say that he does still have it.
Yeah.
When the day comes that he has to go meet the Lord, what are you going to do with the skull ashtray?
I don't want it.
Smoke them if you got them.
But I mean, this is you almost have to think you got to do something proper because this used to be a human being.
Yeah.
You can't just throw it in the trash.
Maybe have a little ceremony, Laura.
There you go.
Yeah, bury it out back like a dog.
Donate it to a medical school. I don't know.
It was used as an ashtray.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this. I think...
I mean, it's going to clean up.
Right.
It's going to... Okay.
I'll tell you this. It. You know, you would have to do something respectful, you know. With it. Do not throw it in the trash.
You can't throw it in the trash.
Because what will happen is police will come running. They will think they have a homicide investigation on their hands when
it was some guy from India 50 years ago.
Correct.
Whose family was looking to pay for the
burial. Ended up with a doctor, and then here we are.
Sam, it used to be commonplace in medical history to preserve the human head of dignitaries.
Why?
Medical research. For physicians, it was a bragging point. There's a whole theory about the head of Osceola, who was a leader in the Seminole tribe in Florida, being passed around from physician to physician.
Okay.
Great point. How do we feel about Catholic relics? I have been to the Vatican, where you can go downstairs. Are they called the catacombs, I believe, if I'm not mistaken?
Into the catacombs.
And there are the boxes. What's the name? They're called...
Ossuary?
Yes.
Is that the right word?
I don't know if that's the right word, but that works. Mm-hmm. And they have the ossuaries down there with the bones of saints, including St. Peter, allegedly, in one of them. And you can see the box, the ossuary, where St. Peter's bones remain. Well, is that any different? And by the way, Sam, if there is a fourth, I will have a bone to pick with you.
Oh! Seriously?
I fed you that one, be honest.
Sam did feed me that one. So it's technically his fourth.
It's time to go to break.
Dana Wright, Sam Stephen III.
When I'm the only normal one taking part in any conversation, it's time to go to break.
Here on Dana and Parks. Comedian Nate Bargatze is beyond excited to host the 2025 Emmy Awards.
He's so happy.
They're going to be on, the nominations will be revealed on July 15th. When is the show? It doesn't say. September 14th.
I believe the day after, he has a two-night stint here in Kansas City.
Two nights?
Mm-hmm.
He will sell out. He will absolutely sell out.
He is
so good.
The
entire bowl is open. The upper deck is open. The last time he was here, if I remember correctly, it was filled to the brim.
You and I were both there, weren't we?
We were.
Yeah. I was there on Dana's tickets, actually. Thank you, by the way.
You're welcome.
Yeah, you were much closer to Nate than I was.
It was a great show, and he had like three opening acts. Everybody was clean. Not a single curse word that night.
And they were awesome. And the MC was like one of the best ones.
Yeah, and I'm not immune to bad language, don't get me wrong. But I think clean comedy is harder than I don't want to call it dirty comedy or naughty comedy, but I think it's harder to put on an entertaining show without using curse words. And if you can do it, like Nate Bargatze or Gaffigan, that's a real talent.
He does a skit, Sam. I don't know if he did this the last time he was in Kansas City, where he is talking about the history of the world because he and his family go over to Europe. And he's talking about how old everything is over there. And he makes some comment like when was this built? Like the 1900s or eight? You know, and,
right.
and it's just right. very observational, incredibly smart comedy.
West Virginia high school athlete, we were talking about this, I believe it was earlier this hour, late last. A West Virginia high school athlete is facing adult felony charges after allegedly elbowing an opponent in the face and breaking his nose during a basketball game. According to court documents, Gage Ketterman, who is 18 years old, student basketball player at Harmon School, was arrested on Monday for the alleged game-time attack. West Virginia State Police were notified of the assault on February 27th after the injury was reported by the injured student's mother hours after the game between Union High and Harmon. The woman claimed her son was elbowed in the face by Ketterman, the victim's nose reportedly bleeding profusely for more than 4 hours, had to be taken to a nearby hospital. Video footage from the game reviewed by state police basically corroborated the mother's claims. The video shows Ketterman jab his elbow directly in the face of an opposing player, according to police. Throughout the game, the clip also showed him allegedly taunting multiple players by striking them in the back of the head. All right, so he's a dirty player.
Then why do
have
we
have him ejected?
But why in sports do we call it dirty?
All right, Sam. Let's
go to CNN real quick and listen in on some breaking news.
The Florida State shooting earlier today has gotten worse. Police are now saying 2 people are dead, 5 are injured. Originally, it was thought only 6 were injured. And Sam just informed me that the TV in there is not working.
When we can get that, let us know, Sam. Sheriff Walter McNeil is at the podium now. We had earlier kind of gotten an earlier heads up that they were supposed to hold this news conference in the 2 o'clock hour. My guess is this was delayed because 2 of those victims sadly have passed.
Okay, we have it now.
Good afternoon. My name is Hubert Reynolds, and I'm the acting special agent in charge of the Jacksonville field office. I want to echo those standing with me what a horrific crime this is, and we stand with you fully. We have an office here in Tallahassee, and we are fully engaged with providing any resources that we can bring to bear to help with this investigation moving forward. We've established a digital tips media line where you can upload photos, videos prior to and during the incident. If you were there from social media, please upload all of that. I will give you now the website address. You can upload any tips to www.fbi.gov/FSU shooting. Again, that's www.fbi.gov/FSU shooting. I want to assure you that we are going to bring every available resource to be able to help the community and the local people here. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm Richard McCullough, Rick McCullough, the president of Florida State University. This is a tragic day for Florida State University. We're absolutely heartbroken by the violence that occurred on our campus earlier today. 2 have died. 5 other innocents are being treated for their injuries. We're working to support the victims, their families, and everyone affected by this traumatic event. I just returned from the hospital with the First Lady and I met some of our students who are the victims. Our hearts go out to our students and the victims of this terrible tragedy. I have to say that our law enforcement, our FSU police officers, are absolute heroes in this regard. The call went out, someone called it in, and immediately they responded. to the scene and immediately neutralized the suspect and prevented this from being a bigger tragedy. I want to thank them so much for what they do to try to keep our students safe. I want to thank all the law enforcement partners, FSU Police, Tallahassee Police, Leon County, Sheriff's Department, Florida Highway Patrol, and the Florida Department Law Enforcement, and all other responding agencies for their rapid and courageous response. I want to thank everybody that came out to visit with the students and to help us and to be here today for this press conference, and I appreciate so much the support that you're all providing to our university and to our students. We're fully cooperating with the investigation, and we defer to law enforcement as they continue their work. I'd also like to thank all the healthcare providers at Tallahassee Memorial Hospital that are treating and providing outstanding care to our victims. Right now, our top priority is safety and well-being for all the people and our campus. As it was said, classes are canceled. The main campus today and tomorrow and all FSU athletics events on Tallahassee are canceled through Sunday. We also want to tell you that counseling and psychological services are available to students, faculty, and staff, and anyone that needs that should call 850-644-2003. We're also providing support for faculty and staff through our Employment Assistance Program. And so if you need any help, please, please reach out. We'll continue to communicate with the campus community as we know more. This is a deeply emotional time, but we're all here to support each other. We're going to do everything we can to support our community. We're a strong and united community, and we're family. And so we'll take care of all of you, and we'll get through this together. Thank you.
All right, at this time, we will take a few questions. Let me just reiterate, this was a massive response, a massive response of law enforcement personnel. Our federal, state, local partners have continued to build relationships that long preceded this event, and that came into great play today in the seamless way that we all came together to work these events. But I know you'll have some specific questions. I will tell you right now, we are not going to talk about the victims, other than the fact that there are six of them, two additional deceased, and then the suspect. So nine total persons. Yes, sir.
Have you all been able to talk to the suspect at all? Any idea about motive?
The suspect invoked his rights not to speak to us.
Chief, do we know if the weapon that was used was his parents' service weapon? And if so, what are the rules around storing service weapons?
Right. No, that's a good question. This weapon was a weapon that the deputy previously used. A lot of times, many agencies, mine included, when we transition to a new handgun, the officers are allowed to purchase the handgun they used prior. And correct me if I'm wrong, Sheriff, but I believe that's the case here. This was a handgun that deputy used prior to them transitioning to a new handgun, and so it was her personal handgun.
Is she on leave or
the sheriff would have to speak to that.
We will do a thorough investigation to look at all aspects of it. There's no cause right now that we're aware of that would require her to be placed on any kind of suspension or otherwise.
Yes, ma'am.
We've been hearing stuff that it was a deputy who was a school resource officer. Is that true?
That is correct. Yes.
Chief, who's injured, who's killed, or any of those members of law enforcement?
I'm sorry?
Anyone who died in the shooting or was injured in the shooting, were any of them members of law enforcement, whether it be the...
No, they were not. They were not. Yes, sir.
When law enforcement arrived, did the suspects engage with them, or did he surrender immediately?
No, they challenged him and ended up shooting. He did not comply with commands and was shot.
Did he fire officers?
I do not believe he fired at officers.
We've heard that Phoenix may be autistic. Are you able to confirm that detail?
I do not have that detail.
Is there an idea of the victims yet?
I'm sorry?
The ID of the victim.
We're not releasing any of the victim information at this time.
Was the officer aware of any behavioral conditions or concerns or threats prior to this incident?
We were not.
How quickly did officers arrive on scene with the 911 call to run and engage the suspect?
We will get you that information. I don't have that currently. I assume that would be a question that was asked, but I mean, it was almost immediately. That FSU, obviously, this is their campus, and they patrol it very well. So they were on scene almost immediately, engaged almost immediately, and then everyone else again was a massive, very quick response.
So, you said that the two deceased were not students. Do we know of those five that were injured, or any of them students?
Again, we're not releasing any information on the students at this, on the victims at this point.
Specifically, what firearm did he use?
I'm sorry?
What kind of firearm was he using?
It was a handgun.
What kind of handgun?
I don't know what type of handgun that was. It was probably a 40. No, I don't know. Yeah.
Chief, I heard reported that a shotgun was also recovered on campus. Was that used in the shooting?
We do know that he had a shotgun with him. We have not confirmed anyone was shot with a shotgun at this point. But again, that could change as we, again, there are hundreds and hundreds of witnesses. And as we piece all of this back together, information will come to light that we may not have at this point. So I do not believe so at this point.
We'll take one more question. Do we know how many shots on radio dispatch or any logs be released in the near future?
I'm sorry, say again.
Will there be any body cam footage or radio dispatch logs or incident reports being released?
We will work with the state attorney's office, which we always do, in pulling together all the information, all the investigative evidence from this case, and in collaboration with State Attorney Campbell, we will make that determination. Obviously, after the case is over, we will certainly, it all becomes available at that point. But as to what we can and will release at that point, like I said before, we're very open and transparent on these things. Again, the officers did an incredible job. But again, some of this is very horrific. This is a horrific incident. And so we will, again, collaborate with the state attorney's office and determine which of that evidence could be released or will not be released.
All right, we will continue to monitor this. But again, two dead, five injured on the Florida State campus earlier today. Initially, it was thought that only six people were injured. It turns out that the shooter, who is in custody and has decided not to cooperate with authorities, is the son of a sheriff's deputy in the Tallahassee area.
My God.
And he used, according to them, one of her previous service revolvers, or guns, I shouldn't say revolver, service guns. Apparently, the sheriff's department, when you get a new gun, you're allowed the option to buy your previous service weapon. She did, and it was that weapon that he allegedly used to kill two and wound five others at Florida State today. We will continue to monitor here on Dana and Parks. Okay, some of the things we've learned, some you heard during the news conference. The shooter has at Florida State today has been identified as 20-year-old Phoenix Eichner. He is the son of a Leon County Sheriff's deputy who apparently had access to one of her guns, if not more. We don't know that for sure. Two are dead. Five are wounded. He is refusing to cooperate with authorities. The two dead victims are not students.
They did specify that he had a shotgun in his possession as well, but they do not believe that he fired the shotgun.
And they've upped it to two dead, six injured now on CNN. He was a political science major?
LSI, yep.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Motive is unknown. He is 20 years old. Phoenix Eichner, I-K-N-E-R. I'm trying to find anything on Facebook from him. I can't find anything. So either he doesn't have a page on Facebook or it's been shut down. There's a weird political quote. I'm not going to read it. That's all we've got.
I did find a Instagram account with the same name. The numbers in the handle being 2004, which would coincide with his
date of birth.
Correct.
Well, no, actually, that would. Well, no, you're right. That would make him 20 years old, most likely.
Assuming he hasn't had a birthday yet.
Yeah. Correct. Anything in there of note?
It is locked.
Huh. Shocker.
You know, a law enforcement officer's son.
You don't hear that very often.
You do not.
Mm-hmm.
You do not.
Take a quick break for the news. Dan Weinbaum has that coming your way in about 2 minutes. That guy over there is Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. You're on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.